check, check. Good, good. All righty. I have been working on the exam, so if you look at your exam and you still got one mark wrong and not supposed to be marked wrong, well, you'll have to test the work. Just let me know. No, I don't care. I understand. When you make the grade, you know you got it right. You will make sure you got it right. I have no problem with that. So just if those are watching by internet and Roku, if you still have some that are incorrect, I'm human. I could have missed it. Just email me and let me know. We'll get it correct, all right? Last time we were together, we was in chapter 13. Last time we were together in person. It was chapter 13. I skipped chapter 12. And I didn't know why, but I think this is good. I didn't know why I skipped it, but Holy Spirit led me back to chapter 12 because this is very important. The whole crux of covenant is going to be explained in this particular chapter. And I think it's very important for us to see this because a lot of times our destiny is being held back because we won't grasp this one principle. All right, so we're going to take our time to go through chapter 12. We're going to read a few scriptures. We're going to see some things. Tonight I'm going to pause sometimes. I'm going to look some of the words up in the original Greek and Hebrew and we'll talk about them and see what they really mean. Because a lot of times we gloss over words. You don't really get the full understanding of what they mean. So, here in chapter 12, it's talking about the lives of honorable men in the nations. And, of course, it's referring to men as mankind, not just men as in the sex of men, just men in general, covering human, mankind. But there are, I can't remember, I think there are six or seven things we will go through that is very important. And I'm glad I took this chapter to come back now because it would be a great way for us to end this semester. We're going to end this semester really talking about why have we been talking about covenant all this long, and we're going to begin to talk about the nuts and bolts of how we come into covenant. Also, while I'm remembering, we will have exams next week. All right? They're going to be on chapter 12 and 13. Of course, mine is going to be open book, and so you just be prepared. If you can read, you can pass it. All right, so it'll be next week, chapters 12 and chapter 13. If we were to turn to Genesis, the 14th chapter, you see some of these statements in your book because the author did a great job, and I'm expounding some of them. Every senior minister and pastor is looking for those who will connect with him or her in covenant and help him or her fight their wars. Alright? I'm going to say it another way. Every senior minister and pastor is looking for those who will connect with them in covenant and help them accomplish their agenda. Alright? The author is making great references to David and to Abraham, and every time we talked about them, they were in the midst of fighting somebody. All right, so that's why the author talks about war. But it's a little different for us because we're no longer fighting wars. We're actually taking territory. And the only way we can take territory is if we do it together. Now, we're going to go over the scripture tonight after we read Genesis, the 14th chapter. Go over the scripture. We're going to see what covenant does when everybody has one voice. We went over before, but I didn't want to read it again tonight. When everybody has one voice, one agenda, one heading in one direction, what can happen? All right? And we're going to make this point because in Genesis 11, chapter, don't print it now, but when we make this point, you're going to see that God himself had to stop some things because he said himself, I can't stop these people from doing what they want to do, and it's because they were in covenant. In Genesis, the 14th chapter, let me get there. Genesis the 14th chapter and the 13th verse. Here it says, I'm going to read the King James Version. It says, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Jew. I started at verse 13. Told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother Anna. And these were confederate with Abram. Are you seeing this? They were confederate. Another translation talks about allies. This is the first time we see the word confederate, allies, in the Word of God. Now, this is important because watch this now. Watch what they said. It says, for he dwelt, the V part of that 13 verse, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Anna. And these were confederate with Abraham. Watch this now. You got to grab this. It didn't say Abraham was confederate with them. They were with him. All right, this is important. All right, verse 14. And when Abraham heard that his brother, that's another word. Because y'all know who he's talking about, his brother? Does anybody have an idea? When he heard his brother was taken captive, he's talking about Lot. Now, wait a minute now. I thought Lot was his nephew. But now, Abram is using the term brother. Are you seeing? You see how covenant? Lot is no longer Abram's nephew. Abram now considers him to be a brother. Alright? Watch this now. Verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servant. Keep Abram, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. So here it is, we see it covered all over. We're seeing their lines. We're seeing it coming together all over. First, we see that it said that Mamre, Eshcol and Anna, they were, watch this, they were confederate with Abram. Then it turns around, Abram sees that his brother had been taken captive. Then he comes back and says that Abraham took 300 men that were born in his house. Now, what's the significance of that, being 300 men that were born in his house? Not necessarily the physical birth, it didn't happen, but what happened is Abram had his hands on them. He was able to train them in a certain way. He was able to train them according to the agenda that he had. Are you saying that? So our pastors, our leaders, our bishops, they're looking for people that are willing to be trained for their agenda. Alright? They're looking for people that will attach themselves to them for the agenda that God has given to them. Are you saying this? Once all this begins to take place, then the reciprocity of the grace that is on the leader's life begins to attach to our lives. So things that we were dealing with on our own and we were trying to get answers to, because we are connected and focused on an agenda that's not this agenda, now God, all right, let's go to Genesis 12. Genesis 12. Watch this now. Watch how all these people were attaching themselves to Abel, all right? Because we need to understand this. Why these people were attaching themselves to Abel? Because this is, God made a very clear statement. And so it angers me when I walk into a church or walk into an organization and I see people that are they motivated by what they can have for themselves. They're only motivated by what they can get out of the deal, what they can accomplish. When in actuality, if they just yield to covenant, just yield to covenant, the principle of covenant, and God will begin to take care of everything for you. Because we're about to see, this is the 12th chapter. Watch this. This is 12th chapter.
verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto who? Abram, right? So the Lord is talking to Abram. Right, listen to that internet. The Lord is talking to Abram. He ain't talking to nobody else. The Lord has said unto Abram, alright? Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, watch this now. Verse 2 is important. And I, who is I? Alright, God. And I will make of thee a great nation. Alright, here he is. God is telling Abram, giving Abram an agenda. What he's going to use Abram to do. He said, and I, who is I? God. And I will, I will bless thee. God said, I will empower thee to prosper. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to lift you up. Are you seeing this? This is God telling Abram this. And make thy name great. And watch this. And thou shalt be a blessing. Thou shalt be an empowerment to prosper. Now I'm taking my time and breaking these words down so you can really understand what God was telling Abel. Abel himself didn't really understand all what was going on. But when God begins to set things in order, divine power begins to come in and begins to take over and make things happen that couldn't happen on his own. Alright? So here it is. God said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will empower thee to prosper and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. But then Abraham is now doing something for somebody else. Alright? Verse 3. Now watch this. I love it because there you see a colon. Right? In my Bible, I got a colon after thou shalt be a blessing. Meaning he's about to define how. Anytime something comes after a colon, whatever preceded the colon, what's after it, is about to tell it how, about to explain what's in front of it. Alright? So he said, thou shalt be a blessing. Okay, Abel, this is how you're going to be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. Now watch this. This is what God was telling Abram. He said, watch this. Blessing means to be empowered to prosper. Prosperity just simply means to do well. That's what prosperity really is. So, all right, now let's see how you say what we equate prosperity to money. That's true, because if you want to do well in that realm, you're going to need some money. You know, people that are struggling to find, they ain't doing well. Right? But doing well also means to be successful. To be accomplished. To dominate. Are y'all seeing this? So in other words, God was telling Abram, for everyone that helps you be successful, do well, and accomplish the agenda, I'm going to be responsible for making sure that they do well, that they are successful, that they have all they need and all they want and all they desire. Are you saying this? Watch this. Then he said, and curse him that curseth thee. Now, he said, I will bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee. So curses have to be the direct opposite of. So if blessing is empowered to prosper, and you're empowered to prosper, that's what blessing means, that's the root word, what it really means. And prospering or prosperity simply means to do well. So when somebody comes in and curses, tries to curse you, that means they're trying to stop you from doing well. Right? So now God comes in and says, for those that try to stop you from doing well, or try to hinder you from doing well, then I'm going to stop them from doing well and stopping you. Does that make sense? But watch what God ends up with. Watch what it says. And in thee, who is thee? He says, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In thee, Abram, shall all the families of the earth be empowered to prosper. All right, now watch this. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Lot saw on Abram the blessing that God had placed on Abram. Now, Abram didn't hear all the rest of the stuff that God had said, but he knew his mother. He don't believe it. Ain't nobody around here. For him to leave something, I'm going to attach myself to him. All right? Now, watch this. In intimacy, this is about covenant. This is about a connection. This is about alliance. That's very important. Because we're going to see verse 2 unfold both ways in Lot's life. We're going to see it unfold both ways. We're going to see both things. We're going to see the blessing, and we're going to see the curse. Are you seeing this? So even in Abraham's disobedience, God's mercy was still there with him when he went to Egypt, when he wasn't supposed to come out rich. Now, when he came out rich, him and Lot both rich. Now, all of a sudden, Lot's starting to think that it's him. See, we see this happen over and over and over again in our churches. We see this happening over and over again in our churches. And it's the same that it happens because it's the same trick of the enemy. God is just simply trying to get us to work together. The enemy wants to divide and conquer. So what happens is he begins to make some of us feel like it's us causing it to happen. When it's actually not us causing it to happen, it's us connected to an agenda that God has assigned and our obedience that allows God to do what he's going to do for us in our lives. Are you seeing this? So we have to, when we start talking about alliances, we have to understand that there is a grace that is on our pastor's lives that's not on our lives. But that don't mean we can't ask him today. When Paul said, be partakers of your grace. He didn't say be partakers of your own grace. Paul said, be partakers of my grace. What Paul was doing? Paul was standing in the same shoe that Abram was standing in. Are you seeing this? It's important that we understand it. See, people will try to come and detour you and take you off and tell you, hey, you ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to be connected like that. You ain't got to. You just find that woman. You find that man. People don't come. They don't come and tell you that. But you must remember that there was a shift that took place when you connected. Every last one of us in the group, while you're watching my internet, things begin to happen for us that wasn't happening before. When we got faith where God wanted to face and be connected to who God wanted to be connected to. Are you seeing this? So what we have to be careful of, and this is why covenant is so important and alliance is so important, we have to be careful to understand and trace back the successes in our lives. These successes came because we were placed in the right place. So if the successes that have come by me being in the right place, then all my future successes don't come because I'm plugged in where I'm supposed to be plugged in. It's because, see, the reason why Lot never got back right, because Lot could have came, dropped on his knees, and said, Abel, I apologize. Please forgive me for making you choose the land you didn't want to go to. Because what was going to happen, listen, Abram was probably going to choose the weaker land anyway. Why? Because he was bearing the blessing. And whatever the blessing bears, poverty can't save. But because Lot thought it was him, and he was looking out for his own self-interest, Lot said, Abel, calm and cool and collected. Abel's like, I got a word from God. God told me that he's going to make me a blessing. He told me I'm a great nation coming out of me. And he told me I'm going to be a blessing. So, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do well. Are you seeing this? So Lot thought it was him that was causing himself to do well. We see this. Don't let this happen to you. I've seen so many people get connected and God begin to flow in their life, and all of a sudden they start tripping. Start doing Romans 12 and 3. Start thinking of themselves more highly than they ought to think. Are you seeing it? See, Abram, the blessing was on Abram. This is why all these guys were joining themselves to Abram, making themselves allies to him. Because they know Abram was going to battle, and they wanted to be on the winning side. They knew something was on Abram. So what they said is, we're going to take our resources, put it behind Abram. And look, what happened is when they won, they got all those falls. Abram came back and said, look, I don't want none of this. Y'all divided amongst yourselves in a minute. Because I don't want nobody to say that God, I don't want nobody to say that they may be rich, but God alone. But they had not joined themselves to Abram and realized that Abram was the blessing, they wouldn't have progressed. They wouldn't have been blessed. They wouldn't have been empowered to prosper. They wouldn't have been empowered to do well. Are you seeing this? So, back to my first statement. Every senior pastor is looking for those who will connect with them in covenant and help them fight their wars or accomplish their agenda. Now watch this now. The first thing in alliance partnership that is needed is those who will be in covenant with us. And I'm speaking for your pastor tonight. So you're going to hear me say us and we and but I'm speaking, I want you to hear your pastor's voice. I want you to hear your bishop's voice. I want you to go through whoever you follow, whatever church you go to, wherever you're connected to, I want you to hear their voice when I'm speaking. Because this is what they need from you. See? This is what they need from you. Listen, Lot wasn't even long with that started popping off a lot. So I'm not talking about long processes of things being drawn out. I mean, you get connected, you get plugged in right. I mean, when do y'all stick y'all finger in one of these electrical sockets right? You're going to worry about the electricity coming. It's going to come. So if you plug in right, it don't take God long to do nothing. In a live partnership, we need those who will be in covenant with us. We cannot proceed to an alliance partnership without the strength provided by this level of relationship. All right? Watch this. Covenant relationship removes the, listen to this. Covenant relationship, listen to the internet. Covenant relationship removes the seed of selfishness that is the root of all behavioral disorders and mischief. That's powerful. Anytime somebody gets a tripping in the church, I automatically know they hold their weight. That's really the only reason why you can come in the church. They didn't send your soul, confident preach the word you wanted to hear. Pastor didn't appoint you the way you thought you needed to be appointed to. So anytime you see somebody tripping in the church, don't imagine now, anytime you see somebody tripping in the church, that person's selfish. Because why do we come to church? We come to worship God. So if we all come to worship God, and somebody gets mad, because the focus is going to be on us, really. So if somebody comes to church and get a strength with what's going on and how things ain't going right, and the pastor is giving out, and the leadership is giving out orders, and somebody's getting upset with it, you automatically know, point blank, they sell. And they got a behavior disorder.
Listen to this. Now, you know, you hear some buzzwords that we were talking about earlier.
When we come into true covenant, we are filled with the spirit of sacrifice, buzzword, when we talk about that, and desire the best for those we love.
Men in covenant with us to cover us in our vulnerability and protect us when we are under pressure.
Listen to the pastor now. Listen, I'm talking in the voice of your pastor now. Hear that. Here's what's going to happen.
We're supposed to cover our leaders when they're vulnerable and protect them when they're under pressure.
There's no time for us to join in with the other people applying the pressure.
Samuel did something that a lot of people gloss over. You remember, you know, Hannah couldn't have a child, and he said, God, if you let me have this child, I'll dedicate him to you. And Hannah dropped him off at the temple, and Eli began to raise him up. And all of a sudden, as a young boy, Samuel was going to bed one night, and the Lord spoke to Samuel. He thought it was Eli. So he ran to Eli and said, Eli, did you call me? He said, no, son, I ain't call you. So he's going back to bed. He went back to bed again. The voice of the Lord came to him again. He ran back. He said, I ain't call you. Go back to bed. The third time he came back, Eli perceived that it was the voice of the Lord. So he told him, hey, when you go back to God, it's going to be the Lord talking to you. Say, here, Lord, I'm going to hear your servant. Say what you got to say. All right? Those are Eli told him. Just say, Lord, I'm here. Speak.
God began to tell Samuel about how he will set things in order. And really started talking about dealing with Eli. All right?
Now, watch how much honor Samuel had for Eli.
Samuel woke up the next morning and was like, nothing happened.
Go back and read it.
He got up this morning and that nothing happened.
Eli had to threaten him to make him say what God had told him.
He told Samuel, if you don't tell me what God has told you, whatever he told you, I'll pronounce it on your life.
Samuel said, oh, I'm about to fill a bed right now.
Because I know he told me, but my point is, he had so much honor for Eli that even though God has spoken to him about how he's going to get Eli's faith, because Eli wants to take care of his business, wants to take care of his sons, wants to take care of his people, wants to be able to do.
But because of government and because he honored Eli so much, Eli had to force it out of him.
But the force out of him what God has said to Samuel.
Do you see that level of honor?
We have to get that back in the church.
We have to get that level of honor back in the church.
But what happens is, let me prelude about saying what I'm about to say by saying this.
You can't have that level of honor with just anybody.
See, the problem today is government in the church has been so out of whack that everybody calls themselves everything, so nobody knows who is what.
We don't know who's prophet, we don't know who's evangelist, we don't know who's apostle, we don't know who's teacher,
because everybody wants power and everybody wants.
So therefore, when it's time to live, you can't give the kind of honor to everybody.
Take this point, in my case,
I'm saying this as reverently as I can.
We started, that folks started teaching about grace.
I followed him. Even though,
because he taught me, that,
listen to this. Because I've been following him, he taught me the way of God.
So I was seeing some things that was conflicting.
But I would not say nothing
because he's taking us somewhere, and I'm like, where he's taking us, and all I know is I trust his love for God enough to follow him and wait for God to deal with it. Are you seeing this? So now, we are seeing on the journey for a reason. Because now he came back and began to tell us all these things, and all some things begin to click from it. Are you seeing this? So my point is, you can't give this to everybody. This is why alliances are so important. Covenant is so important. This is why having the right man or woman of God is so important. Because the kind of trust that you have to have in a covenant relationship will cause you to go into a line of fire with them. So now, there's not a time for me to be coming out. It ain't time for me to come out. Because now, he's in a place where God has took him someplace so that he can see some things for the rest of us. So now, it ain't time for me to be trying to defend my ego, saying, I'm sorry. No, it's time for me to join with him and say, Apostle, I see where you're going. I'm going with you. He is covenant. Regardless of who says or what anybody else says. Are you seeing this? Go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Watch what it says here. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for, anybody there? Did you see it? Their labor. Two are better than one because what? They, not he, not she, not an individual, but they have a good reward for their labor. So back and read that statement again. Men in covenant with us can cover us in our vulnerability and protect us when we are under pressure. So in other words, it wasn't time for any of us to become super spiritual, especially in what I take, and start saying, well, shoot, I saw that pastor. I mean, I wasn't going on long with that. I saw that. I mean, I did. And you go to talk with somebody else. Like, yeah, I saw that. I don't know what pastor was going, but I wasn't going with it. What? Once again, that's your selfishness. Are you seeing this? Number two. In a large partnership, we need those who will go out into battle with us and for us. Those who will go out into battle with us and for us. Are you seeing this? See, so other words, this is why we have to have a God-centric relationship and not a self-centric relationship. See, a lot of times, people come to church because they have needs. That's no problem. But when you get here, you realize the way you get your needs met is not by you trying to focus on your needs. But you begin to focus on the needs of others. So when you begin to take on, great example was Moses. When they were fighting a battle. And the blood told Moses, as long as your arms are lifted. As long as your arms are lifted, they were winning the battle. Moses' arms got shot. So what they did? They held him up. Now what was the reward? They won the battle. They got fired. But wait a minute. How come why? All right. Well, why didn't and the rest of them hold on also. I mean, if it wasn't for Moses, it wasn't for me. If it works for Moses, you know, if it works for Moses, then I mean, we should get another hand if we still be with it.
Do you see how
people think in the church that are not in covenant? They got their own selfish motive when it could work for him. I see that happens all the time. I sit there and I watch the pastor. Sometimes I'll be like, man, I know where in the world I won't be doing what he's doing right now.
Because I ain't called for that.
I'm in my position.
See, most people in the church today, they get called and then they figure, hey, if it works for them, it'll work for me.
Not much better than that.
So you must be willing to go to battle for who you connected with. Go to battle. Now watch what the author says. I love what the author says. We're going to close with this one. The author says go to battle with and for. Go to battle with and for. One of the things we're trying to establish in LTA is a do as I do mentality. Not do as I say. All down from our apostle to the MVPs to all the circles. Do as I do. So it's no longer I'm going to tell you do this, but because I'm in leadership, I ain't got to do it. Because we defeat the purpose. Are you seeing this? See, all right, what is Galatians 6:7? Go to church all the time, and I'm told this. God is not mocked, whatever man says. That's the all for me. So how is it that I want people to come up to my church and be on time when I have service, but I can't be on time, and I don't even show up when my man of God is speaking? So, according to Galatians 6 and 7, if I don't show up to who I'm connected to, then I'm just throwing seeds for those who say they're connected to me not to show up. Same thing with money. I hate it when preachers get up there talking about sowing and they just turn over my sowing. That's called hypocrisy. That's called lying. That's called fighting. That's called fake. That's in it. It's funny, but we is real. So watch this. I'm not going to get back to Compton. Our spiritual father came to do it. One of those meetings for us, and we were sitting down as a family, and we were trying to figure out what can we do for them coming in town. And we sat down. I met the guy was younger, but me, my sister, and my child was there, and Donnell was real young, so he was just there, just chilling and watching. But we all came up on the idea, and Apostle Greek, so I remember sitting at the table. He said, why don't we pay for all their hotels and pay for all their meals while they're here? So they ain't got to be going and look for none of that stuff. They can just focus on what they come here to do. See, so we before they even opened their mouth, they make it walk into the office, before he even said do one thing, that person had a mistake. Said, is this another take care of the expenses for the week? And if you stay 2 weeks, we want to put that in there too, because you can stay 2 weeks. So we can put that in there. Took care of everything. So now everything that they're starting to receive, he already started in the back. See, that person done it over and over and over again. They're still doing it. So now, why this? Why people got a problem with founder day? Why people got a problem with people sowing to his head? Because he's already proven and sown, and now he's just reaping. So we can't get one part to realize, okay, you want that emotion. You want what he was having in his life, then you're going to have to do. Are you seeing this? So let's do a 2 points to close. Because these are very important. We're going to finish this, not this week, not next week, because we got exams next week. We're going to finish the week after. All right? So our exams is on chapter 12 and 13. All right? Chapter 12 and 13, open book. Our last 2 points. Watch this. I'm going to repeat the 2 points that we have gone over. In our last partnership, we need those who will be in your pastor now, in your leader talking. Firstly, in our last partnership, we need those who will be in covenant with us.
All right? And then secondly, in our lives partnership, we need those who will go out into battle with us and for us. You all have a wonderful night. We have the exams open up Monday. And once again, I said it earlier, those that are watching late, if I've gone over the exams, so if they still have some marked wrong, and you're not supposed to be marked wrong, just email me, let me know, and I'll go over them again. Thank you all. Have a great night.